From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, President Trump rightfully stated that the vote last night in the U.S. Senate, which rejected the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, quote, will be remembered as one of the most shocking votes in the history of Congress. If there is one thing we should all agree on, it's protecting the lives of innocent babies, end quote. This debate is not about whether or rather what our nation's abortion laws will be. It's about what kind of nation we'll be. I'll be joined a little later by South Carolina Senator Tim Scott as he weighs in on the Senate vote. Also, Kansas Congressman Dr. Roger Marshall joins us in just a moment from the U.S. House of Representatives, where the focus now shifts in this effort to stop infanticide in America. And CNN wants to make sure they have enough time to get all the Democratic challengers to President Trump. So they started last night by hosting a town hall meeting with the Bern. Now, what does Bernie Sanders say is the greatest threat to our nation? Well, we'll talk about that a little bit later here on Washington Watch. I also hope to get to the phones and hear from you on this Tuesday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at TPerkins. Let me remind you, check out the website. I'm going to talk about it a little bit later, but we have something you can do to weigh in on this issue of infanticide. You can find it at TonyPerkins.com. Also, be sure and download the app, the Stand Firm app. That's how you keep connected, not only with what's happening, but what you can do about it. I've said this many times. This program is not for spectators. If you're a spectator, can't save the republic by being a spectator. You got to be a participant. Download the Stand Firm app and be involved. Be engaged. Make a difference. All right, last night, by a vote of 53 to 44, the Senate failed to pass the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. Now, all this would have done was to have required doctors to provide medical care to infants born alive after an attempted abortion procedure that failed. But if those on the left who voted against this were hoping the issue would be put to rest, well, I have news for them. They are absolutely wrong. My first guest, Republican Congressman Roger Marshall, who represents the 1st District of Kansas and, by the way, has delivered over 5,000 babies as an OBGYN, was understandably horrified. And he was a part of a press conference earlier today on Capitol Hill that FRC participated in. And he once again spoke with great passion and authority. I want you to hear what he had to say. Play cut 8, please.
Americans are not going to be in favor of killing newborn babies. Call it infanticide. I call it murdering little babies. God will not bless this country if we allow this to happen. For such a time as this, we've all been called.
Congressman Marshall, that was on point. I could not have said it better. And I do believe that you are here in Washington, D.C., as are a number of elected officials for such a time as this. And welcome back to Washington Watch.
Now, Tony, thanks for having me. I can hardly believe we're having this conversation. I would have never believed that I would have to fight harder to save newborn babies as a congressman than I did as an obstetrician delivering a baby. I just can't believe we're here today. Can you?
I can't, and I think it's important. And the reason I'm dwelling on this topic, I mean, obviously it's current because it was last night in the Senate, but we've been talking about it since actually. You joined us a couple of weeks ago when we talked about this. I think it's important as a nation that we pause for a moment, because as you said today, I think you are right on target. We cannot continue down this path and not think that there are consequences to pay. It's much like that. I saw this with the president at the State of the Union address, almost like Moses putting before the children of Israel a choice of life and a blessing or death and a curse. And I think that's where we are as a nation.
You know, absolutely. You know, the scripture I've just been on my heart for several weeks is from the book of Esther. I think it's 4:14. Maybe you remember the Wayne Watson song, "For Such a Time as This." And as just in my quiet time praying, what should I do about this? It was absolutely the scripture on my heart that for such a time as this, the Family Research Council, Roger Marshall, Tony Perkins, people listening to your radio show today, it's a time like this that we have to stand up and be counted. Everyone's got the freshman Democrat congressman out there. They've got to be vulnerable. They have to be willing to listen to this. Surely that they have not been tainted by Washington, D.C., and that there has to be people that we can reach out to. And it is for such a time as this that we've been called to be here in D.C. And fight for our values.
I mean, again, stepping back from this, this is not really about abortion policy. I mean, I am, as you are, completely opposed to abortion. But this really isn't about abortion. This is about something even more significant. I mean, we're talking about, as you said, murdering babies. And I am concerned. And I was thinking of Thomas Jefferson when he said, "I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that his justice cannot sleep forever." I mean, how long can we entertain policies like this and refuse to address them and not think that there's a price to pay?
You know, absolutely, Tony. And, you know, my kind of heart is just thinking now about all those newborn babies that I delivered. And 98% of them came out screaming and crying, but about 2% of them needed some help. And I was so blessed to have around me great pediatricians and great nurses and anesthesiologists, that team of people that I would need. And now they're going to allow these abortions to be done, not even by physicians. They're going to let non-physicians do late-term abortions. With that alone scares me. And then this, and they're going to mess up. I mean, every year there's dozens of babies that are born from a botched abortion. I don't like that term. I got to think of a better term. And they're born into this world. And what type of nurse or doctor could not respond to the right. to that baby who's trying to get its first breath? How could you go into medicine and even begin to contemplate that?
I mean, it is completely contrary to what medicine stands for and the oath that you take as a doctor.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, story after story I'm reading now, I just had no idea how many babies have survived abortion and they've grown up to be incredible people. And I just couldn't imagine what type of a heart would a person have been there to put a newborn baby in a trash bag and hope it died. I didn't know that people existed like that. What country am I in right now?
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. With me, Congressman Marshall from Kansas, represents the 1st Congressional District, also a doctor, as you've heard, delivered over 5,000 babies. Congressman, this is not the end of it. As I mentioned a few moments ago, this issue is going to continue on. The House working on a discharge resolution, which will be really ready for signatures the first or second week of April. And if 218 members of the House of Representatives sign this, then there will be a vote on this same bill on the House floor.
Exactly. So I need some Democrats to sign on to this petition. It's very, very simple, and I'm sure that you folks there at the Family Research Council are helping us figure out which representative they should be talking to. We need to pile their emails up and send them letters and say, please sign on to this legislation, the Board Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. And I heard you talking about Stand Firm. Is that your place to go to on your website to get information on how to do this?
Right. That's our app where they can download on their smartphone. We'll send out those alerts and the target list of what members need to be contacted on this.
Wow, that's a great idea. Stand Firm app. I didn't know there was that you had that, but that's tremendous. You know, this is absolutely the issue of the day, and that's a great way. Like you said, this is not a spectator sport. If you want to stand, and this is the time to stand up. If you're ever going to do anything, this is it. This is the moment. God is shining light on this issue right now, and he wants to know who's going to stand up here. And your Stand Firm app is absolutely sound spot on.
Congressman, one final question for you, because I know a lot of people have been visibly moved by this, and I'm talking about your colleagues in among the Republican ranks. But I have to think that there are members on the other side of the aisle that also are and can be touched by the real humanity of this issue, that we're talking about human beings that are born These are not, I mean, again, this is not babies in the womb. And they're still babies. Right. They shouldn't be, their lives shouldn't be taken. But we're talking about human beings that are born that could live if given the medical treatment that they need.
You know, absolutely. And I'm just thinking, and tonight I'm going to have dinner with probably seven or eight Democrats. Pray for God's wisdom tonight for that dinner. And then Thursday morning, we'll have our weekly prayer breakfast, about 40 of us, from 8 to 9 a.m. Eastern time. And if you and your people would be busy praying that maybe God would touch some hearts as we're sharing time with God together, that maybe that's where we'll find some Democrats that'll say, okay, we have to stand up now. We need to go against the Democrat leadership and say, let's do the right thing. So I sure just keep us all in your prayers as we try to work together with Democrats as well.
That is a great call to action, and we will do just that. We'll encourage folks to be praying for those interactions, that the hearts and minds of people can be changed on this issue. And I just, for one, Dr. Marshall, want to encourage you to continue to speak out with the passion that you have. You are changing hearts and minds, I can tell you, because I've gotten the feedback from our listeners from when you were on the program last time. So thank you for your bold stand and for being obedient to be here for such a time as this.
Thank you so much, Tony. And we're all changing. I've seen the polling. The polls are changing in our favor. Keep up the good work. Thank you for all you do as well.
All right. Congressman Roger Marshall of Kansas. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. You can follow the links over. Hey, you heard what he asked for, that we cover these guys in prayer in these conversations. And I've talked to many members, and there are these conversations that are, you know, that take place, you know, on the House floor, in the offices, at lunch, different places. Just pray that hearts and minds will be opened. And there's some things you can do here. You can pray. But you can also send a very strong message to Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House. By joining with us, we're going to send, you know, the first thing that happens when a baby is born, you know, they're wrapped in a blanket, and then they put one of those little newborn baby beanies on their head, you know, the blue and pink. We're going to send 90,000, with your help, we're going to send 90,000 of these to Nancy Pelosi to send a message that we want our children protected. We're going to pass this law, okay? We're going to pass this. We're going to draw the line here, and then we're going to work our way back. Yes, we're going to work our way back till America is a pro-life nation again. But we're going to start right here, and we're not going to give an inch. We can't. So whether it takes a new Congress to get this passed, well, then that's what it'll take. But we need you to be a part of it. Go to TonyPerkins.com and be a part of sending these 90,000 baby beanies, these newborn baby hats, to Nancy Pelosi. You can be a part of it. Find out how. Go to TonyPerkins.com right now. It's at the top of the page. All right, when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation with Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina. Last night, as we said, the Senate refusing to protect newborn babies. What's next in the Senate? I think Senator Scott's got a very unique insight on this. He's going to join us next. Don't go away. More Washington Watch to come. And be sure, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Help us send this message to Nancy Pelosi. We're coming back right after this.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy that inspire us from childhood, such as unicorns and the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being, from the Loch Ness Monster to big tax refunds. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. Since 1973, these abortion myths have grown a substantial foothold in developing a climate of fear, misinformation, and a culture of death in the United States. In FRC's new analysis, learn whether most Americans support abortion on demand, and if a fetus does in fact feel pain in the womb. Join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Also, if you can't get to that one, go to EndBirthdayAbortion.com. That's where you will find the action items to send a message to Nancy Pelosi. We'll send her one of the newborn baby hats on your behalf if you go to EndBirthdayAbortion.com. All right, Congressman Marshall made reference to throwing a baby away. He was making reference to comments that Congressman Chris Smith of New Jersey made at that same press conference we were talking about. And I have that clip, a clip of what Congressman Smith Senator Scott was called to votes, but he's now back. So I'm going to hold that clip with Chris Smith, and we're going to go straight to Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina. Senator, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you very much, Tony. It's good to be on the air with you.
Well, it's good to talk with you. And I know that you had to have been incredibly frustrated last night because two very pro-life Republican senators were not able to get back to D.C. in time to vote because of flight delays, which were out of your control, both you and Senator Kevin Cramer of North Dakota. That had to have been, knowing where you stand on this issue, that had to have been incredibly frustrating.
It was. I'll be honest with you, Tony, and thank you for allowing me to talk about the issue, because I was as frustrated as you can imagine. There's no way in the world that I would miss that vote. I had a 61-minute journey from Charleston to D.C., and it took 3 hours and a change to get to D.C., and it was just completely outside of control, but it was incredibly frustrating. And one of the challenges of having pro-life votes on Mondays is you are putting yourself in a perilous position to have those votes on Mondays, because it's the hardest day when we're coming back. So,
it's a difficult travel day, I know, because I do the same thing, and you run into a lot of problems on Mondays. Yes. This issue is kind of, you know, in many ways even closer to you as you look at what's happened with the black community across America. When, you know, now this issue is about infanticide, but we talk about the broader issue of abortion, and the African American community has been targeted really by abortion. The rates are astounding. I mean, it's 3-1 when you look at Caucasian babies.
Well, there's no doubt that if you remember the founder of Planned Parenthood and the concept of a continuation of a subject of genocide in the black community, that was a part of the aim and the objective that she had at the time. From all that I've read, the numbers are staggering in every community, and any loss of life to a child, an unborn child, is devastating. But when you see that communities of color are oftentimes targeted, it just it makes your stomach turn. I will say that when you look at the racial issues that we face in this nation and you think about the Commonwealth of Virginia and some of the challenges that you've seen there, nothing comes close to infanticide. There is not a significant issue, and we have many, that comes close to infanticide. So missing the vote on a bill that I am the original co-sponsor on with Ben Sasse, that would bring clarity to a conversation that should never actually be necessary in the nation's capital. It doesn't matter whether you're pro-choice like others or pro-life like myself and you and your entire organization. We should be clear on human decency. We should be clear on the value of life. We should be clear that when a child is born, there's no question. There aren't two sides. There's simply one side, and that is the side of life.
Do you see this for the nation really as a moment of choosing? I mean, there's really kind of a fork in the road here if we go down this path to just kind of wink and nod and allow infanticide to take place?
Absolutely. We cannot become a nation that has such little value of life that we're willing to terminate it after she is born, after he is born. If we can't stand up against this, what will we stand for? I believe that this life is the beginning of eternity. I do not want to look the Father in the face and have the question raised, what did you do when you were the watchman on the wall on this issue? I think it is Ezekiel 33 that talks about the watchman on the wall. I think it's incredibly important for those of us who call ourselves leaders, whether you agree or disagree on every other topic, let us agree. Let us stand strong. Let us be clear. Let us be loud. But let us agree that protecting life is paramount for the continuation of the greatest nation ever designed in the good Lord's heart, called America.
Senator Scott, the positive side of this is what I'm seeing is that we're having a conversation that we've not really had before, and I'm actually seeing hearts and minds changed by the conversation. So maybe while this is alarming and shocking, maybe it's getting through to some people of what we've allowed ourselves to become as a nation.
Well, Tony, you may have put your finger on the pulse that I was so frustrated about that I completely missed, so thank you for that. There is no question that when you read Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. One of the things that may actually present itself in the midst of this challenge is a good opportunity for us to take a step back from our partisan and or choice positions and find a way to take the momentum on the left and the right, who all seem to support life, and make sure that we codify that in law. When I was in Arkansas over the weekend, I was talking about this very issue and talking about the fact that the governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia, who is a pediatric surgeon, would suggest, infer, and frankly reinforce that we can kill the child after they're born. That raised the roof on both sides of the aisle in Arkansas.
It certainly did, all around the nation. Senator Scott, thank you so much for taking time out to join us today. And again, thank you for your leadership on Capitol Hill on so many issues we care about.
Well, thank you for allowing me to be on your show. God bless you.
All right. Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina. All right, when we come back, the burn. I'm going to get to that clip from Chris Smith. I want you to hear that. But I also want to talk about Bernie Sanders having a town hall meeting with CNN. According to the burn, what's the greatest threat facing America? Well, we're going to talk about it. Don't go away. More Washington Watch to come.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy that inspire us from childhood, such as unicorns and the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being, from the Loch Ness Monster to big tax refunds. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. Since 1973, these abortion myths have grown a substantial foothold in developing a climate of fear, misinformation, and a culture of death in the United States. In FRC's new analysis, learn whether most Americans support abortion on demand, and if a fetus does in fact feel pain in the womb. Join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website is tonyperkins.com. Also, check out the website endbirthdayabortion.com. That's where you can team up with us to send a very clear, visible message to Nancy Pelosi. 90,000. That's our goal, to send 90,000 of these newborn baby hats to Nancy Pelosi to say it's time to stop infanticide in America. And we will not rest until it's done. This is one of those defining moments. And here, I want to go back now to Congressman Chris Smith of New Jersey. This was earlier today at the press conference that I mentioned with Congressman Marshall that FRC participated in. Chris Smith, who is a longtime pro-life champion, this is what he had to say.
In a Florida abortion clinic, Sicloria Williams delivered a live baby girl at 23 weeks. According to Sicloria's lawyer, quote, she came face to face with a human being, and that changed everything. The clinic owner took the baby, who was gasping for air, cut her umbilical cord, threw her into a biohazard bag, and put the bag in the trash. Sicloria later had a funeral for her baby girl, who she named Shanice. We need to provide protection for babies like Shanice and recourse for mothers like Sicloria. In Sicloria's home state of Florida in 2007, 11 babies were born alive during abortions. The CDC reports that in Florida over a 10-year period, 143 babies died after being born during the abortion process. And the number is likely to be a very low estimate due to poor reporting practices. We all remember Philadelphia abortionist Kermit Gosnell, who operated for decades under the radar, breaking the law with impunity. He was convicted of killing a number of children and a woman at his abortion mill. Well, the grand jury summed it up so very well. They said Gosnell had a simple solution for the unwanted babies he delivered. He killed them. He didn't call it that. He called it ensuring fetal demise. The way he ensured fetal demise was sticking scissors into the back of the baby's neck and cutting the spinal cord, and he called that snipping. This legislation, the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, builds on the 2002 Act, which did not have sanctions against those who would kill the baby. It holds the woman who gets the abortion harmless. There's no way she will be prosecuted. But it creates a standard of care that that child who was born during the abortion process needs to be treated just like any other preemie, rushed to a hospital, given the kind of resuscitation and care that any other preemie would receive. We call on Speaker Pelosi, as a matter of humanitarianism, to bring up this very important life-saving bill.
That was Congressman Chris Smith of New Jersey earlier today on Capitol Hill. They're actually outside the Capitol there with the rotunda in the background, and you can hear the noise. That's a call on Nancy Pelosi to hold a vote on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. It is a prohibition against infanticide, and there are those that say it doesn't happen, and that's why Congressman Smith was laying out that scenario, which is repeated over and over. You've heard of Gosnell. That's what he was doing. You can be a part of this. Go to endbirthdayabortion.com and help us send a message to Nancy Pelosi. Okay, transitioning now. Last night, CNN held a town hall meeting featuring Democrat Socialist Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont, who is once again running for president a second time. Now, I think CNN's just trying to get a jump start so they can work in all of the Democratic candidates to take their shots at President Trump. Now, nothing was surprising there with his ultra-leftist policy pronouncements, but I want you to zero in on a couple of things because this is instructive. You need to hear what they're saying, because if you grow complacent, they could very well be in control of the country. And we need to know what they're saying they will do, because believe me, I think they'll do it. Here's one clip of Senator Sanders talking about what he thinks is the major, the biggest national security issue. Play clip number one.
I don't know if you were moderating it. Well, I don't know if it was you or CBS, I can't remember. And somebody asked me, they said, what is the major national security issue facing this country? You know what I said? I said climate change. And people laughed. Wasn't that funny? Well, people are not laughing now, because they have read the scientific reports and they know that if we don't get our act together in the next 12 years or so, there's going to be irreparable damage. So let me lay it out on the line. We are going to have to not only take on Trump and his deniers, but this to me is an existential crisis that impacts not just you and me and our generation, but our kids and our grandchildren. We must accept the moral responsibility of leaving these kids, future generations, a planet that is healthy and habitable.
So the greatest threat, the greatest national security issue facing the country is climate change. Now, Bernie's not alone in that. He's not the only one. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez also has the same view. And then we're up against a break, but when we come back, I want to play her clip from just a couple of days ago, where she was speaking to her followers via Twitter. And then I want to talk about their prescriptions of how they plan on solving this and what's at stake. Now, tune in. You don't want to miss this, because, again, you need to know what they're saying now. I know it's kind of comical. People laugh, make fun of them, and I get that. But you need to listen to what they're saying, because this is the new Democratic Party. This is where they're going. And there are consequences to this. Okay? We're going to talk about it, and then we're going to get to your phone calls in this next segment. So don't go away. Lots more Washington Watch to come. Download that app, Stand Firm app, and check out the website, endbirthdayabortion.com. All right, we're coming back after this. Don't go away.
The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy, from unicorns to the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. In FRC's analysis, 10 Myths on Abortion, join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to our other free resources, go to frc.org/connect.
All right, I'm Tony Perkins, and you're listening to Washington Watch. If you're just tuning in, we're discussing a number of things today. Mainly, we've been discussing the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, that vote yesterday in the Senate, which failed. But look, I know a lot of folks are really troubled by this, and I'm troubled by it. But this is an opportunity, okay? As I was talking with Senator Scott about this, and as he made reference to Romans 8:28, there's an opportunity here. What the governor of Virginia, what the governor of New York have done in just going too far, pushing their agenda too far, has caused a backlash. We talked about it yesterday on this Marist poll that shows that the biggest shift from being quote-unquote pro-choice to pro-life that has taken place in the last month because of the discussion that surrounded this issue. So here's an opportunity. This is an opportunity to have a discussion about what we've allowed ourselves to become as a nation because of abortion. We can certainly all draw the line and say, look, we're not going to allow infanticide. And then as people begin to have that conversation and understand the humanity of the unborn, we can move it even further. In fact, I think we're very close to seeing America become a predominantly pro-life nation again. But see, this is where those hard, fast abortion advocates don't want to have this conversation. They don't want to recognize the humanity of the unborn. But we're able to have the conversation right now. So don't lose heart. Pray. All right? Pray. Pray for our nation. Pray for our leaders. Pray that their hearts and minds would be open. And then Talk to your friends. Have conversations with your children. Have conversations with your coworkers. Have conversations with your neighbors. We've got some great resources at frc.org. The 10 myths of abortion. Just go to the website and you'll find all kinds of things. But also join with us in sending a very visible message to Nancy Pelosi about the humanity of these children. I'm going to deliver them 90,000 of these baby hats, newborn baby hats. You can partner with us. $9 is what it costs. Go to the website, endbirthdayabortion.com, and join with us. Okay, back to the Byrne and his town hall meeting last night, saying that climate change was the greatest threat facing our country. Well, he's not alone because I said Twitter, but it was on Instagram earlier, I guess maybe over the weekend. AOC had this to say about climate change. Let's play clip number 9.
Yeah, everyone, I'm making chili. Someone said, please explain the Green New Deal. Thank you for asking. So the whole premise of the Green New Deal is that we're screwed on climate. Like, I'm sorry to break it to you. If we do nothing, there is no hope. Period. That's just a principle across the board. If we do not act, there is no hope. The only time we can hope is when we act. But when it comes to climate in particular, we're actually screwed. There is a global threat to the planet. A global threat. And at this point, we don't even have to prove it. Just walk outside in winter in a lot of places, and it's either way worse than you're used to or way warmer than you're used to. Hurricanes, storms, wildfires. We are dying now.
That was deep. Of course, I'm not going to get into the fact that she was making chili, and obviously that has effects on the ozone levels, but nonetheless. So what does AOC and the burn prescribe? Well, number one, these huge tax increases, basically a major redistribution of the wealth, I should say. It's socialism. This plays into to socialism. That's why the left is enamored with issues like this, because the only solution is big government. It's the only solution. Now, here's what Sanders had to say last night regarding socialism. Let's play clip number 2.
President Trump said in a State of the Union address, and I'm quoting him now, America will never be a socialist country. Will that hold true if you're elected president?
If I am elected president, we will have a nation in which all people have health care as a right, whether Trump likes it or not. We are going to make public colleges and universities tuition free. We are going to raise the minimum wage to a living wage of at least $15 an hour. And whether Trump likes it or not, when I talk about human rights, you know what that also means? It means that our kids and grandchildren have the human right to grow up in a planet that is healthy and habitable. It is really a disgrace and an embarrassment that we have a president who rejects science, who does not even understand that climate change is real and caused by human activity, who does not understand what this planet will look like in years to come if we do not go forward boldly and transform our energy system away from fossil fuels.
I'm sure that was a balanced town hall meeting, too, with Republicans and Democrats filling the audience. Not. I really love the way the left throws in science. You know, for those that, I mean, people, look, we recognize the climate is changing. And the question is, what is driving the change? Is it a natural cycle that happens, which evidence would suggest it is? But there's science that is proven, that's very clear. For instance, Bernie Sanders took a stand against science last night when he refused to recognize that human lives were being snuffed out through infanticide. The science is very clear about children. When life begins, very clear. But I don't want to go there right now. I want to stay focused on their prescription, on socialism. And look, he would not embrace the fact that he was a socialist. He said, look, we're going to make sure that people have health care as a right, that colleges and universities are free. And he also later in the program actually talked about early childhood education being free, preschool, all of that. Everything's free for some people. Well, how are they going to pay for that? We're already $22 trillion in debt with the social programs they have now. Well, we're going to raise the rates to astronomical rates. We're going to fully embrace socialism. Now, what is socialism? A lot of people are confused by what socialism is. Socialism is actually in the it's a stage of society in the Marxist theory, which is transitional between capitalism and communism. And it's distinguished by these unequal distribution of goods and pay according to the work that's done. So it's a transitional stage to communism. Now, what's the end result of that? Well, this is not something we have to guess about. quoting from an article by Dr. Richard Ebling, the BB&T Distinguished Professor of Ethics and Free Enterprise Leadership at the Citadel, looking back on the socialism of the 20th century, this is what he wrote. Learned historians of the communist experience in the 20th century had estimated that in the name of building the bright, beautiful socialist society of the future, as many as, listen to this, 150 million to possibly 200 million unarmed, innocent men, women, and children were shot, tortured, starved, or worked to death in labor camps as enemies of the people, end quote. You see, the left's projections of the cost they attribute to climate change lacks the tangible historic evidence. I mean, they're saying we're dying. AOC, we're dying. Really? Where's the evidence? There is no hard, fast historic evidence compared to socialism. The cost of socialism has been real. We can look back and calculate the cost with deadly accuracy. Folks, you need to be paying attention to what they're saying, where they want to take America. And you cannot be complacent, because you might say, well, I don't support that. Well, if you don't support the opposite, you make way for that. And that's what happened in the 2018 election. A lot of people stayed home because they weren't excited about what the Republicans had been doing. And so what happened? Nancy Pelosi was able to, once again, grab the gavel in the House. So we need to know what the other side is proposing and what they want to do and where that would lead America. Yes, maybe those that we're supporting or have supported aren't leading us in the right direction fast enough. But I will say that this president has been doing systematically, has been following through on the promises he made in the campaign. Let me look. I know I'm running late and I wanted to get the phone calls, but this is important. I want to go to the public policy priorities, okay? In the beginning of this year, Pew Research, very reputable nonpartisan group, it took a look at all of the issues. The economy was number one. 70% say the economy should be the top priority for the Trump administration. You know what was at the bottom of the list? At the bottom, very bottom, was global trade, 39%. You know what was right above global trade? Global warming, climate change. I'm sorry, I got to use the politically correct term. Climate change. Okay? Nobody, you know, really cares about it. That's not true. That's not true. Most people who think don't care about it. I mean, look, I'm an environmentalist. I'm a conservationist, I should say. Look, I'm an outdoorsman. I love to take care of the outdoors. I think we have a responsibility to take care of the planet and everything else in it that God has given us. We're stewards. We should be caretakers. But we've seen what's happened over the last 50 years. We've actually reduced air emissions. Air pollution is nothing like it used to be. In fact, we are doing quite well, cleaning up the waters. All of that's important. But I digress. There is such a divide on the climate change issue. Only 21% of Republicans say that this should be a top priority for the Trump administration and Congress. 21% say climate change. That's Republicans. But when you go to the left, left-leaning voters, 67% say that climate change should be a priority for Trump and Congress. There is a huge divide here. While you may think it's not important, and it's not really important to us from a standpoint of getting the government to focus on it because we know what it will take. It'll require them taking away your freedoms, your rights, shifting income, impoverishing the nation, basically pulling the plug on our economy. But the left, this is a big deal. AOC is speaking to the hardcore left, and so is the burn. But if they were to get control of the levers of government, they would put America's economy into a tailspin, and it wouldn't be long until we were living like we were in a third world country, because we would be. And of course, there's in order to accomplish all of these things, it's why it requires socialism, more government on the march toward communism. You've got to pay attention to this stuff. And we've got to be engaged, we've got to be involved, and we've got to be voting. We've got to be informed. By the way, it was looking through the Pew numbers, it was interesting. In 2011, 8 years ago, 87% of the American public said the top priority should be strengthening the nation's economy. Well, that's down to 70%, a 17-point drop. Why? Well, because the economy is doing so well. The policies of this administration, the tax cuts, the deregulation, has caused the economy to grow, unemployment to drop to historic levels. And what happens is people become complacent when things are going well. They're energized when things are not going well, and they get, you know, they get involved, they get engaged. But when things are going well, they think, oh, you know, I'm just going to ride this one out. It's fine. The momentum is good. It's carrying us where we need to go. But with their socialism comes their radical social policies as well, not just economic policies. The infanticide, what we're looking at now. Why did not a single one of the Democratic contenders or those that are saying they're running for president on the Democratic side of the ticket, they didn't support the bill yesterday in the Senate. Folks, we're at a moment of decision for our country. And I want to encourage you to be praying. Be praying about the course that this nation is upon. And step back for just a moment and rethink this anew. I know if you've been in this for a long time, you just think, well, this is another policy debate. This is another political skirmish. No, this is something different. We are confronted with going down a path where we see born babies as being disposable. A callousness will overtake us that we've never seen before. A darkness will descend that we have never experienced. But it doesn't have to be that way. It can actually be the opposite. We can fall on our knees and pray, and then we can get up and we can do something about it. I believe that America's best days could still be ahead if we simply will not grow weary in doing what we know to be right, even when it's difficult. We've got to stand for what we know to be true. All right, folks, out of time. Sorry we did not get to the phones today, but tomorrow we will, I promise. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.